all rights reserved. We reserve all rights. Disclaimer: this film is not medical advice. It is informational only. Put whatever the hell you want into your own body. Just don't claim you weren't informed.
Ivermectin, now in apple flavor.
The highly acutely toxic, skin-irritating, health and environmentally hazardous drug known as ivermectin, which has long been proclaimed by its own profiteering big pharma license-holding companies as a wonder drug, and even recently promoted by celebrity medical expert endorsements, is now being marketed to the public as some sort of manufactured center of controversy over its effective use for the treatment of the alleged but never proven to exist COVID-19 virus. The first self-evident problem is that the alleged COVID-19 virus does not even exist in reality. So taking an antiparasitical poison like ivermectin as medicine for a fictional virus is as pointless as taking pink flying unicorn repellent in case you're attacked by one. As of October 5th, 2021, over 137 Freedom of Information Act requests have been sent to health authorities all over the world asking for proof of a purified and isolated virus called SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19, over 40 in Canada alone, and not a single one of them has been able to produce a single shred of evidence or record that such a thing even exists, because it doesn't. All viruses only exist in an in silico computer-created model, so it is obviously impossible to treat something that is imaginary with a real toxic medicine like ivermectin. Period. And we've already covered this in too much detail in 12 full-length films over the last 2 years, so we're not going to beat a dead horse going over that again. Pun intended. Even if you still ignorantly believe in the now debunked germ theory of viruses, even in the bogus germ theory itself, viruses are not parasites. So taking a toxic antiparasitical medicine like ivermectin to treat an alleged virus is as pointless as putting a Band-Aid on your forehead to relieve a blister on your big toe.
Why is that, ladies?
Because according to germ theory's own rhetoric, viruses are not alive, they are just balls of partial broken down genetic fragments wrapped in a protein coating. They have no cells, they cannot turn food into energy because they have no nucleus, no respiratory system, no circulatory system, and no digestive system, so they can't eat anything. Parasites, on the other hand, are very alive and have some or all of these systems. And the whole way ivermectin kills parasites is by poisoning their glutamate-gated chloride channels, which paralyzes their body wall and their pharyngeal muscles, just like we have to eat, so they can no longer move or eat to survive. You know what doesn't have pharyngeal muscles, glutamate-gated chloride channels, or eat to survive? That's right, viruses. So why would you take ivermectin as an antiviral? Because it made you feel better after a few days? We'll get into that deadly fallacy shortly. Just so we're perfectly clear here, toxicity means the degree to which a substance is toxic, meaning capable of causing injury or death, especially by chemical means. Poisonous. There is a 2007 published study on PubMed of comparative evaluation of acute toxicity of ivermectin by two methods after single subcutaneous administration, meaning put just below the skin, in rats. In this study, It was found that ivermectin had an LD, meaning lethal dose, of around 50 milligrams per kilo of body weight of the recipient. After the rats died, postmortem lesions, which are tumors, ulcers, sores, and wounds, were observed in the form of congestion of their livers, which showed centralobar necrosis, meaning cell death by poisoning, and hemorrhages, meaning profuse bleeding. That is why, despite the lethal dose being 50 milligrams per kilo of body weight, the so-called therapeutic dose of ivermectin is only 200 micrograms per kilo, which is only 0.2 milligrams. This stuff is that nasty and they know it. But they make no secret about that if you bother to look the drug up on PubChem. Just like with the rats, by no coincidence, they tell you, ivermectin therapy has been associated with very rare instances of clinically apparent liver injury. They tell you it is fatal if swallowed, harmful in contact with skin, suspected of damaging fertility of the unborn child, meaning reproductive toxicity, and it causes damage to the organs through prolonged or repeated exposure. They tell you right there that though the animal lethal dose is LD50, acute human studies usually only consist of case reports from accidental ivermectin poisonings or industrial accidents, and that these case reports often help to define the levels at which acute toxic effects are seen in humans, meaning they don't even study and test this stuff in humans on purpose, because it's dangerous. According to the Division of Animal Research at Emory University, ivermectin is toxic to humans. They tell you that for a long time, it was believed that ivermectin was contraindicated, meaning not advised as treatment, in children under the age of 5 who weighed less than 5 kilos, as there was fear of neurotoxicity, the drug possibly being able to cross the as yet not fully developed epithelial cells which allegedly make up the hypothetical blood-brain barrier. However, evidence has emerged that this is probably not the case, so the science is obviously probably settled. Miraculously, for once, the U.S. Department of Health is actually telling the truth when they warn people not to take ivermectin for COVID-19. But given their terrible track record, it's quite easy to understand why people would do the opposite. Another thing to consider is the connection parasites have to toxic heavy metals in the body. Toxic metals support the promotion of parasites, and there are toxic metals in our air, food, and water. No one is exempt. Everyone is going to have some amount of mercury, lead, aluminum, etc., and many people are going to have some degree of parasites in them, most especially unhealthy people. The problem is that parasites eat toxic metals in our tissue, which is actually a good thing, but it is known that some of these parasites can accumulate heavy metals at concentrations that are orders of magnitude, meaning a shitload more than those naturally accumulating in the human host tissues they live in or the environment. And so a well-meaning person either falsely believes their own body's emergency flu detox is COVID-19, or the media has made them afraid of catching the non-existent COVID-19 virus, so they go out and start taking ivermectin, which kills these parasites while still inside of their own body. Where exactly do you think all of those toxic heavy metals trapped inside of these parasites are going to go as the dead parasites' bodies start to decompose and release those metals? That's right, back into your tissues and bloodstream. And now you have no parasites left to eat those toxic metals back up. Again, I want to repeat, this film is not to give any medical treatment advice. Put whatever the hell you want into your own body. It is only to make you aware that people who go through parasite removal therapies under strict naturopath, holistic, or even allopathic doctor supervision are aware that killing parasites inside of the body, whether by ingesting toxic pharmaceutical drugs or even using the plethora of natural remedies that are non-toxic to the body, know that these dying parasites release metals and toxic gases like ammonia back into the body. So the doctors advise them to do a host of other things like fasting, drinking lots of clean water, taking binding agents like activated charcoal and bioactive carbon, and doing coffee enemas to get these parasites out of the body as quickly as possible to avoid that toxic mess. We aren't even going to address the nonsensical germ theory idea of ivermectin as a molecular mechanical mechanism to bind to spike proteins of SARS-CoV-2 and stop them from entering into cells and reproducing. Again, we've already debunked that in the last 12 films and aren't going to beat a dead horse. However, Dr. Bean makes a very crucial admittance here. Ivermectin does disrupt chymotrypsin protease enzymes, but not to reduce viral replication, because there is no such thing, but rather to break the body's mechanism of action, cause suppression, and stop the body from cleansing and detoxing. That is why ivermectin stops flu symptoms and you feel better, but you are by no means cured of anything, quite the opposite. A good analogy for ivermectin is, if you sprain your ankle and then take a pain relief product like aspirin, you definitely feel better, but aspirin does not heal a sprained ankle. The body does. The problem with aspirin is you might damage your ankle even further by trying to walk on it because you can't feel the pain any longer, which is really the body's way of telling you to stop walking on it so it can heal it. The problem is, this nonsense germ theory has brainwashed us all into falsely believing that you can catch a cold or catch the flu. You cannot catch a cold or flu any more than you can catch a fish on top of Mount Everest. Because of this fallacy, we are taught to view cold and flu symptoms as some kind of illness or sickness. We say we are sick with the flu, when in truth, it is the complete opposite. The flu is the body's mechanism of cleaning itself. As Dr. Herbert Shelton put it, what is commonly called the flu is one of nature's most powerful methods of restoring health. You aren't sick with the flu. You are sick with what the flu is trying to get out of your body. If you stop your body from cleaning dangerous toxins and rotting proteins out of itself, then you will later experience the true meaning of sickness, which is heart attacks, strokes, kidney failure, cancers, mental illness, memory loss, and all other kinds of disorders caused by unremoved toxicity in your body. Yes, healing is painful and uncomfortable. That's why we feel like we are dying when we go through an emergency flu detox. Because the body is literally getting rid of things that will harm or kill us if we don't. It uses all of the excretory organs, fever and chills, to squeeze and sweat out tissue toxins through the skin, runny nose, sneezing and coughing up mucus to clean the lungs and sinus cavities, vomiting to clean and empty the stomach, and constant urination and diarrhea to clean the liver, kidneys, and bowels. This cleaning process requires a massive amount of our energy to create and manage the enzymes and other biochemical catalysts and processes needed to make this happen, which is why we feel crappy, run down, sluggish, and have no extra energy to spare. When there is food in the stomach, you cannot heal because the body always deals first with allocating energy to digestive enzymes and processes. That is why you feel so tired and want to go sit down right after you stuff yourself too much with a big meal. That is also why the body uses vomiting to keep your stomach empty. These germ theory idiots tell you COVID viruses make you lose your taste and smell, but can't offer any reasonable explanation as to how or why. In reality, you lose your sense of taste and smell during a cold or flu detox, so you aren't hungry and tempted to eat and stop your healing process, so the body can start expending energy and enzymes on breaking down and removing toxins and old proteins. So why on earth would you go out and take an acute toxin like ivermectin that stops your body's enzymatic flu detox process by disrupting the pancreatic chymotrypsin and protease enzymes, which are not only vital to your endocrine system, exocrine system, play a significant role in your liver, kidneys, brain, nervous system, and cardiovascular system, but are also needed to break down old proteins and other wastes, including toxins, so the body can remove them, which is the whole point of the flu. That's why ivermectin heals flu symptoms, because it halts your ability to break down and remove old proteins, wastes, and toxins. By shutting down the protease enzymes that allow your so-called immune system to properly perform that function. Dr. Herbert Shelton wrote about influenza. Physicians and patients rarely realize how much the treatment itself is responsible for increased and prolonged suffering and death. Physicians are unaware of their fallacy to eat plenty of nourishing food to keep up your strength. Delirium, spasm, peritonitis, pneumonia, pleurisy, heart trouble, sleeping sickness, etc., are listed among the complications of influenza. These develop in those who are fed and drugged. Whether the condition is severe cold, influenza, or pneumonia, the first thing is to stop eating. Absolutely no food but water should be allowed until the acute symptoms have subsided. No drug of any kind should be resorted to, even if it comes in apple flavor. Go to bed and rest. Keep warm. Rest, fasting, warmth. These are the needs. Have plenty of fresh air in your room. Under these conditions, you may lie in bed and get well in a short time with no complications and no sequels. You don't need treatment. The fever, inflammation, coughing, etc., constitute the healing process. Just get out of their way and permit them to complete their work. Don't try to aid nature. She doesn't need your puny aid. She only asks that you cease interfering. He also said that trying to get a sick body well by dumping toxic drugs like ivermectin into it makes about as much sense as trying to get your clothes clean by washing them in muddy water. Nobody in their right mind would start to poo out digestive system waste, toxins, and harmful rotting proteins, and then decide halfway through to stop pooping and hold the rest of it in their colon for 5 weeks or a year. That would be insane. Yet that's exactly what people are doing when their own body is trying to poop out its waste, toxins, and old harmful rotting proteins through the excretory organs by use of fever, sweating, coughing, runny nose, etc., and they stop that removal halfway through with ivermectin, cold and flu medications, and aspirin. Where do you think those unremoved toxins and waste are going to go? Are they just going to magically disappear and evaporate into the ether? In summary, this film is not meant as medical advice. It is information only. If you believe in COVID-19, viruses, and ivermectin as a cure, put whatever the hell you want into your own body. Just don't claim you weren't informed. If you do, remember that it is an acute toxin that caused extreme liver damage in the rat trials, that human studies have never been done for safe doses, so the recommended therapeutic dose of 200 micrograms per kilo of body weight is just a guess based on rats, not humans. You are not a 2,000-pound horse with a watermelon-sized liver, so please treat these therapeutic doses with caution and respect. Even if a drug company selling an acute toxic drug claims it is a miracle drug and safe and effective, does not mean it is not a toxin. There are probably minute microdoses of arsenic, strychnine, and anthrax that won't kill you or hospitalize you either. That doesn't make them non-toxic. If you take ivermectin for COVID and happen to also have parasites, which most people do, it will kill them and release their toxins and heavy metals into your body if you don't have a parasite removal protocol prepared. One last note. There is a huge number of people who do not trust or believe either the government or the mainstream media. Many of those people think the reason the government and mainstream media are so against ivermectin is because they know it really cures COVID and don't want people taking it. I would suggest there is ample evidence to prove the governments and mainstream media are well versed in reverse psychology techniques and openly come out against ivermectin because they know damn well the people who won't take their jab might still go out and poison themselves with that drug, so long as they believe COVID is real and the government is lying to them about ivermectin as a safe and effective cure. Food for thought.
And in apple flavor. Now giddy up.